Blog Talk Radio.
First Peter 1:15, as he which is holy, which has called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy, God says. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God. It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think that y'all say you can't do this, you can't dress, and you can't do certain things.
It don't matter
how long you talk to them. Until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. Got to obey the word of God. This salvation in Acts 2:38 is not a must. I mean, it's not a maybe. It's a must. It's not just an optional way, another play building to get into and just say you're a believer. But it is the only way to travel and to become a true, full-hearted believer.
Good evening. Welcome to Kingdom of God Ministries Blog Talk Radio. We have our special guest tonight, Bishop Curtis Earthquake Kelly. He will be teaching on breaking the Nemos cycle. And I believe if you're tuning in, you saw the promos that we've been sending, what is a Nemos cycle? So he's going to go deeper into that, and we're going to just let him go as the Lord leads. We'll open up some phone lines in a little bit, but he can share his testimony. And we're not going to hold you long tonight. We understand it's Saturday, and probably, you know, people got things to do. But anyway, we wanted to come with you live tonight. This is an important message to the body of Christ. Because a lot of times we go into church and we be in a whirlwind, our life be in a whirlwind. Every Sunday you're going up to the prayer line for the same thing and you're not getting delivered. You may be in a Nemos cycle. You're going through divorce after divorce after divorce. You may be in a Nemos cycle. So, hey, sit tight, tune in. We're going to open up with prayer and then we'll turn it over to Bishop Bobby and he can introduce our special guest. Lord God, we just want to thank you on tonight, Father God. We thank you for blessing us to have this platform to share the good news to your listening audience. And Lord God, we ask that you bless the speaker. We ask that you strengthen him, Lord God.
Lord,
we ask that you give him that rejuvenated strength
to
bring forth what you would have him to bring forth, Lord God, and share what you have given to him in this end time message. Lord God, we just want you to just be with us, to our listening audience. We ask that you touch their ears, touch their heart, so they will be receptive to the message that is coming on tonight.
Yes.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, Bishop, you can take it from
there. All right, Bishop Keller, you have been formally introduced, and we will be listening to you talk about teaching on breaking the NEMO cycle. So you could tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we'll go from there.
God bless you. I'm so happy to be on here this evening with you all. Thank you for an opportunity to come and share the word of God and the testimony, because you say overcome by the blood of the Lamb. So I thank God for you all giving me an opportunity. We've been traveling across the country from New York and then conference this morning. Then we did another show. Before we came on with you all, we did some things about the dangers of Halloween. Thank God give us an opportunity to minister people worldwide. Thank you for an opportunity. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for coming, Bishop.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. And before we go on any further, I'm going to go through a few scriptures here. We're going into Job 1. And he said he had seven sons and three daughters. Job 1:18-19, it says, while he was speaking, yet another messenger came and said, your sons and your daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the four corners of the house.
Man,
sound like that
too.
NEMO cycle. It says, Satan brings destruction to you. And most believers don't know how to get out of this vicious cycle. And so that's what we're talking about right now. And then again, in Hosea 4:6, it reads, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge.
Yes.
Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no more priest to me. Seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children.
My God.
And Bishop Keller, that seems to be where we are in America. It seems to be where we are in the church setting in this country, and it seems to be where we are in reference to Christians and all over the world.
Well, they don't know,
Well, people, they just don't know certain things. So I'm just so happy and glad that you have experienced a lot of things and can share with us so that we can know how to deal with some of this.
And just give us a little synopsis, Bishop, of your testimony. How did you get to where you are here? I know you've been in the ministry a long time, because we've been following you for quite some while. Not that young.
Great God. Come from a Haitian descent. My father, on my father's side.
Mm-hmm.
And he raised me up to be a voodoo priest alongside of him. And he was married to my mother, and she didn't know what he was. She came out of church, and she told me the story, because I asked her, I said, Mama, how you get wind up with him? And she said, well, back in the day, men would open the door for women in the car door and pull the seat out. And she said that she wanted a husband, too, that did that, you know, stuff like that. And used to see that, you know, even in some churches, there were some men who really were gentlemen, and he was nice looking and stuff like that. He pretty much wore my mother down.
Yeah,
he wore her down and took her to Reno, Nevada back in 1947, and he got married, but my mother didn't even know he was a sorcerer.
Wow.
And my great uncle he told my mother, he said, that man's not right. Leave that man alone.
Yeah.
But he wore it down and she married him. Come to find out, he was not only guest of a sorcerer, but he was Voodoo. The Voodoo was the highest level of voodoo on this planet. And then
wow.
She was, and then I was the seventh child. I was the seventh child. And the president of Haiti, who my father worked for, I want the seventh child to work with me here in Port-au-Prince to do spells and things like that. So he sent a lady, a witch from Port-au-Prince, Haiti, and that witch moved up to the Bronx. And from the Bronx, she would come down. And she moved in, crawled for paraphernalia into my bedroom. And my father, he was so mean. Every time my mother said that she didn't want that woman in her house, he would beat my mother.
Oh.
And yeah, he was similar to Papa Doc. Papa Doc would do bad things. And my father looked just like him pretty much.
Wow.
And he would do things too. So he wore the glasses just alike. And it was something, you know, to be raised in that
environment. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, they trained me. I only had 2 hours of sleep every night, learning voodoo and all the other things that went with it. Mm-hmm.
Huh. How old were you, Bishop Kelly? Around how old were you when this started?
They started training me at 5, and
Jesus.
When I turned 16, I got saved. So 11 years, pretty much, without
wow.
a break. They beat me in the head. For training, beat me in the head till the blood came out with a belt buckle. They made me eat, stand me upside the wall for hours as the blood came down and dried on my face. They would stand me outside in the rain, upside down, but big drops of rain would come up my nose. It was hard to breathe. And they said, if you don't keep a perfect balance, we're going to beat you some more. So I learned how. It made them mad, because I learned how to balance on my head. And they got mad because after beat me in the mud and the dirt and beat me, that I knew how to balance. And they got mad because I didn't fall over so they can beat me some more.
Oh, Lord. Oh. That is so. And when you said seventh child, see, my grandmother back in the day, they were from Louisiana. Well, she was in the Virgin Islands anyway. But she used to tell us about the seventh child. And my brother was the seventh child. Now, I was the sixth child. But I know a lot of that, they went deep into it. But things that they would say, when you said the seventh child, I remember her saying, he's the seventh child. And I used to say, why do they say that? What significance is that? Mm-hmm. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's because of numbers. They went by numbers. See, God uses numbers, you know, 12, 40, 3, and so on. And so they copy the things of God. They can't create anything. They just copy what God already created.
Right.
And so God would use 7 and think 12. So would they. They would do the same thing to generate mystical things.
Mm-hmm.
God doesn't. Things like that. He's about miracles and the Holy Ghost. And with them, they want to copy without holiness. And that's what really witchcraft is. Hello? Huh?
We're here.
Oh, witchcraft basically is a copy of the things of God, but perverted.
Okay.
Perverted. And my wife just mentioned that about the 7. So we know what the 7 represents with God. So when these witches and stuff go with the 7, what does it mean?
That
witchcraft and sorcery and all that. What does 7 represent in that and the realm that you were in?
Well, it's more like the conjuring up of certain types of spirits. And
so when you shake the dice and you say lucky seven, so you conjuring up that spirit behind that, huh?
Yeah, wow. You come to the spirit of luck. I have seen the spirit of luck. And so you, not in Vegas, they will find any lady to blow on the dice for them. They're influenced the dice and what's happening. Spirit of luck is there too.
Mm-hmm.
He's there too. The spirit of luck is a tall, like about a 6'9", evil pointy tooth creature that hangs around in places, and it's called the goddess of chance. Yeah, so the goddess of chance is around the roulette table, the 21, and all of those things, and the dice and all of that, and axing, because it knows eventually you're going to go broke anyway. You keep gambling. You know?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're going to go broke. There's no, you know, I mean, they'll let you bait and switch, you know, let you win a few things. Make you feel like you're really on the winning streak, but actually they get setting you up to lose. And that spirit is that spirit goes to table after table after table, and spending your car money, your rent money, your baby's milk money, and all of that to try for either.
Wow.
So that's what is gambling. I see a lot of people bound up with gambling. Look like that spirit of luck get on them. I said L-U-C-K, people. I didn't say lust. But it'll get on them, and it'll have them keep going to the casino, like you said, spending all their rent money, their grocery money, baby milk money. You know, we knew some people was bound up with gambling. In the process, they destroyed their whole family.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that's what it's for. It's really to mess up your family, because if you keep going, back, and it's not your, it's not trying to help you. It's trying to harm you.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That's what that's goddess of chance. It's called luck. The goddess of chance.
Goddess of chance.
Goddess of chance.
I wrote that down.
Which is really a demon.
Well, yeah, but like you said, dress up like a. Wow. So if, you know, the NEMA cycle, we just kind of touched on it, but what would you feel with some factors that contribute to you being in a NEMA cycle? I mean, would it be like financial poverty, divorce? Give us some examples. How would you really know you in a cycle?
Like that.
Stuff don't change. It keeps going. Different day, but the same thing.
Wow.
Over and over, over and over again. It seems like no matter how hard you try, you can't seem to get ahead. And it's just one thing after another, but it's the same thing. That keeps, like, one female lady that I know, she's been married like 7 times, and it's the same. A light-skinned African-American, and she married to the same-looking man. That's a NEMA cycle. The same-looking man over and over 7 to 9 times, okay? You seem like when you move into an area of town, and while you're there, it seems like you get the worst house and move again in another worst house. And you can't seem to get into a nice neighborhood. That's a NEMA cycle.
Wow.
Every time you get some money, it seems like you don't know where, you can't keep an account, a track of where all the money went. That's a NEMA cycle.
Well, let me ask you this, Bishop. We know that's what that is, but how do you know, or how do you get into that cycle? What happens that will cause you to get into that NEMA cycle? What happens?
Well, it's a number of ways. I'll give you an example. I'll give you another example. This is a hard case scenario, but sometimes people they don't want to wait on God to get impatient.
Okay.
And so when I was a sorcerer, when I was a sorcerer and people don't want to wait on God, I know that the type of Christians or so-called Christians that didn't want to wait on God, they would come to us to read their palms.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They read mm-hmm. their palms, things of that nature. So we read them, knowing good and well, we didn't know their future. We just know the pattern if they keep going a certain mm-hmm. way, that's what happened. But we didn't tell them that.
Uh-huh.
You know, and we know church folks. We know church folks as opposed to Christian. There's a difference between the church people and Christian people.
Mm-hmm.
And the Christians never will come to us what the church people would.
Oh, there. Now you said all something right. there. Okay, so there's a difference in Christians or true believers and just people that go to church.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You,
right.
See.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Go ahead.
And what we did to the real believers, the stuff that we were using, never, ever did anything to them. But
wow.
those that was getting to church, you know, just going to church and singing Kumbaya and all that stuff. You know?
Right.
And, mm-hmm. and didn't have
yeah.
no relationship. We wore them out. We made yo-yos out of them, up and down to the side and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
When we became a Holy Ghost filled, people who prayed and sought the Lord. Well, them was rough. We had a rough time. Real sold out Christians. They were rough to deal with.
Wow. And you
when
know, back I was going to tell my husband, it was a secular song, you know, this way back, but it was called Bad Luck. And they
yeah.
were sick. So we didn't know it was a cycle. We just thought we had bad luck.
Yeah. The spirit to God. That would influence a person. It's called echolalia. Are you familiar with echolalia?
Mm-mm.
No,
this is new to
You wasn't in school when this was being taught. You wasn't there.
I missed something.
You missed school. You was absent that day.
Was at recess during that time.
You. Outside on the swings when they were teaching that, okay, I got you.
Yeah.
echolalia, you can find that in the Greek. Echolalia means words that are said in around your ear, around. You're stupid, you're dumb, you're never going to amount to anything, no matter what you do. Yeah,
okay.
Echolalia. And some of the listeners dealing with echolalia right now, I can just tell that some of them, they're stuck. And stuck in an email cycle because in their mind, years ago, somebody told them they would never amount to anything. You're fat, you're black, you're white, trash, you know, all that kind of stuff. And that echolalia stays in their head. Or they'll marry a man or be with a man, and you tell them, if I don't have you, nobody going to have you. You know, you're good. So the lady, he divorced her, and then she stays single because she don't feel like she's good enough to get a good Holy Ghost-filled man.
Mm-hmm. And I hear a lot of women, you know, say that. They say, well, I want God to bless me with a husband, but they
mm-hmm.
feel like I can't get a man. Why I can't find a husband? So what would you,
yeah.
would you say? That's a Nemoth cycle. They can't. They get divorced
yeah.
from a husband, but then they can't find, well, they say they can't find a man. I don't know.
Okay. Excuse me, Bishop. I heard you said that the Lord revealed to you in your spirit that it was certain individuals listening that was suffering with this echolalia spirit. Okay.
Yeah.
Now.
Yes. Yes. Sir.
Okay. Now, if they're listening, would you say that they could be set free from that? I believe they could be set free from that. Now
we'll provide them with the guest number later and they can call in.
Yeah, they can call in. But what would be the best way to deal with that spirit?
Well, I like what the Bible says. You shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. Because here's a lot of people, man and woman of God, when they were saying know the truth, sometimes they think it's only talking about knowing our Lord and Savior, and that's true. That's number one. But then there's also information that the people should know the truth that it exists. These things are real. And, you know, knowing they're real gives you a weapon that you can fight these things with, because my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, and a lot of them don't even know freedom available for them if they know how to fight what's coming against you.
That's true.
Yes. Apostle Paul said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You know this one, against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, let's analyze this for a second, this spiritual wickedness in high places. This is talk. There's no place else higher than the church as far as God is concerned.
Not the
police Navy, not the Marine Corps, and all those, they're good auxiliaries of our planet, but they're not really high, because they can't fill you with the Holy Ghost there. They can't cast down no devil. Marines, the good in God, they protect us unless they're filled with the Holy Ghost. Now they can, but you know what I'm talking in general. The military is someone who preaches the gospel where you go to sit out and learn the word. It's good. They do good. They protect us. Thank God. I salute them. But the church now, the church is the place of high places, spiritual wickedness. So what the enemy tries to do, he tries to go in there and disrupt the church, disrupt what these spirits call Eeps. Eeps are people. Eeps are E-E-P-S. Eeps are people you don't know.
Right.
You don't know. All of a sudden, they're opportunists. You need somebody to drive the bus. I'll drive the church bus. You need somebody to direct the choir. The choir left, went someplace else. I know how to direct the choir. You don't know nothing about it. But because churches need these people to fill those places, they allow the Eeps to take over, and those Eeps get over, and that's what causes church splits.
Okay.
See? Wow. Demonic.
That's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's called church split. Everybody's not, you know, I guess because somebody takes a special interest in you, and don't say your pastor, don't say until your pastor, you know, I'm helping you. No, the Bible said out of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Anytime they don't want you to bring the pastor to you when they're talking to you, that's an eat. And they're going to put you in a cycle, because they're going to milk the money out your wallet. That's what they're coming after you.
Right. Well, attendance in church now, they say, is going on a downward spiral. People are not going to church anymore. Could be because of these Eep spirits. I don't know. But they say church attendance is at an all-time low. So I know the division and a lot of this confusion has crept into the body of Christ. And I guess people just in a state of slumber. I don't know. What would you say about that, Bishop?
Well, they could be what's called, Solomon called it a slothful and by witchcraft called laggard spirit. A laggard spirit will put an invisible ball and chain on your leg.
Jesus.
Yeah, that's laggard spirit. Solomon talks about it. There's a lot of people they got that slothful or laggard spirit. Because, you know, they did a survey a long time ago. The Christian Magazine did a survey. And all the way from Maine all the way down to Florida Keys, from San Diego all the way to Seattle. And you'll pray for the people of Maine who lost family members because of this.
Yes.
Killing 18 or so people. I want to keep those families in prayer. Because I know what it's like. They had a son murdered. I know what that's like, and it doesn't feel good.
No,
you know, so I can feel like that. It's not easy, but we don't keep them in prayers. But that cycle, that person was in his mind to go there, and he's been in somebody's church getting delivered from that, but instead he loads up and goes kills people.
But, you know, now people is quick to say, and we understand mental illness is real, but you have to be able, like you say, discernment what is mental illness and what is demon possession.
Yes.
You know?
That's true.
If they would, I would say, take, when the boy was bound, he came to Jesus, say, my son is what, tormented with his evil spirit?
Yes.
And
a
lunar spirit. Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that spirit.
Yeah, that lunar spirit.
Yeah, that lunar spirit. So is that where you get the word lunatic from?
Right, right. Luna is a spirit that causes autism, HDHD. And my son, Christopher, he was 100% autistic, and the doctor told him he'll never get past the third grade level. He'll never be able to do this. He'll never be able to do that. And God told me to rebuke that spirit because me coming out of witchcraft, I knew that spirit personally. And God said, you sit here and you don't say anything. The Bible says you'd be like, how can two walk together except they agree by your silence and you know something? You're going to do your son a disservice. Mm-hmm. So get in there, rebuke this. So I went in there, did what God said. I not only rebuked the spirit, I rebuked the doctor, I rebuked the painting on the wall, I rebuked the certificate, I rebuked everything.
All right.
Yeah, you have to,
mm-hmm.
did you want to bring that with that? We were looking at this EEPS, so it's a empower,
empower, and punish, and slander. Yeah, we've been reading your book. We've been reading your book.
That's a great
job. Amen. Each spirit. So we also wanted to talk a little bit about these gangs and this cursing demon. How a lot of people be cursing and they don't know. We read where you that the bad word.
Yeah.
Where you pulling that up? What you call that F word?
Yeah, the F word.
Yeah, and actually it's not even a word, it's a name. It's a spirit's name, those four letters. That's the name of the spirit rage. That's when people curse and not even understand. You're pulling up that spirit. And sometimes you curse so much, it'd be Rebecca 2:11, it'd be in the walls of a person's house. And every time they curse, it comes to the walls. It's right there in the Bible.
Wow.
Right in the Bible, and people cursing. Okay. You know, there's a lot of church people, if I may say this, there's a lot of church people, some of your listeners are cursing like sailors, and not even know that when they do that, they're causing terrible things to happen in their houses.
Yeah. They got a cursing preacher in Tennessee. He be cursing up a storm, calling them all kinds of MFs and stuff, and people sit up in that mess right there in Nashville.
Yeah, because they like that. We got one out here in Compton, too. He's another one.
Oh.
Yeah, they out here because what's happening, they are blinded by the truth. See, eventually these things are going to come and get you.
Mm.
They did a movie about it. They did a movie about a girl who was involved with a lot of stuff. And it's one of the most saddest movies I've ever seen because at the end of that run, the spirit came and he said, now I come to call upon your soul. Your soul is at hand. And I come to collect you. And sure enough, she died. Came out. That's the same thing with this F, which is rage. This is the spirit of rage. S is the fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind.
Mm-hmm.
And how the gang members out here, because we do a lot of gang ministry and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, before they die, they get them a Slurpee and they stand in front of 7-Eleven, and they out there get on a summer day because it gets nice out here in California. So they're standing out there, and the next thing you know, they see a 1962 Impala go by, a guy hanging out the window, and he got a Gad or he got a Uzi or whatever, and then that guy who know he's getting ready to get shot, what kind of shot of his old S.
Jesus.
My last day. And instead of saying, oh, Jesus, he said,
oh, S. Mm. Oh, my God.
Now you know what, Bishop Kelly? Now, we know that's true.
Yeah.
But many people, and when you talk about things of the spirit, when you talk about biblical things, when you talk about the things that we're talking about tonight in detail, a lot of people say, oh, they don't know what they're talking about. You know, I cuss, I'm grown, so I can say what I want to say. Yeah, yep. They'll say that. But every time they say those things, they are actually calling the name of a foul spirit that wants to destroy them.
That's his name. And if you don't do it, if you don't listen to, what did it say? You destroy for lack of knowledge. And if you reject knowledge, you can't do anything on behalf of the Lord.
That's right.
Say, I will reject thee. Amen. Yes.
Wow. Right. And on top of that, if you keep going, you become what's called hell-bent. Hell-bent means no matter what somebody say to you, after a while, you get to the point to where nobody help you. Because now you got so many, and they have taken over. And you become like a reprobate almost. You don't even know you're doing wrong.
Wow. Mm.
Don't even have a conscience.
Wow.
Wow. Well, I want to kind of touch on a lot of these gangbangers. You know, they're trying to rise up in Atlanta. I think they're shutting them down. But we come from Illinois. East St. Louis, one of the worst cities in the nation.
Illinois, actually. Just about.
Mm-hmm. But we left there about 35 years ago and moved to Atlanta to get our boys away from there. But, I mean, it was nothing to see young boys, 12 years old, walking down the street with shotguns. And the people just were so lethargic, they wouldn't even call the police.
Yeah, the police wouldn't come.
It was a young man got beat to death in the alley of our yard,
Thank
you know.
Mm-hmm.
So the spirit that's behind that, these cursing demons and things, they don't even know they're being used by the enemy, you know.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Wow. Right. That's the whole problem right there.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about gang members is the ones that write on walls, if they don't even know those words and stuff they write on the wall, they're called runes. R-U-N-E-S. Yeah, those are runes. The people in witchcraft know about those things, but the gang members, they don't even know that what they're doing at work. They are the smallest group on the totem pole as far as witchcraft is concerned. They don't, when they write on walls and spray paint walls, what's happening, those are runes. Those come from the Jewish witchcraft over in Europe. And
yes.
So when they write on walls, those are saying things other than, I'm going to kill this person, I'm going to kill that person. No, what happens is something even worse than that, and they don't even have a clue. So every time they ride on the wall, the witches don't ride brooms no more. They don't have a black hat on their head and a big, long branch coming out their nose with a leaf on it. The witches don't look like that no more. Witches now drive Benzes, and they drive Range Rovers through the neighborhood. And what they do, they see those rooms on somebody's business or somebody's home or church. And I tell church people, the minute you see somebody run on your wall, instantly get out there and remove it. Put some blessed oil there because there's some symbolisms in there that go way back hundreds and thousands of years. And if you don't get it off, they know that you don't know. And the moment you don't know, you're going to suffer from lack of knowledge. They're going to come, and they're going to attack your business, your house, your church, and because they know. Each one of those rooms, R-U-N-E-S, stands for something. And if you don't get it off, it can come from murder, it can come from a constant rain, it can come from mammonism, it comes from they can put that on there not even knowing that some of the occupants, the female, can get breast cancer. Nahum 2:7 talks about the spirit that causes breast cancer, and people don't know. And they don't even know those spirits that causes breast cancer called Hazed is mentioned in the Bible. Nahum 2:7. There's 200 things mentioned in the Bible, and the body of Christ needs to know every last one of them.
We do, but like you said in the book, they're too busy. We read the chapter hooping. So is that a spirit?
Yeah. Say it again. I'm sorry.
Hooping. That's all they do. That's why they don't know the word. They're so busy. Caught up in emotions, and the preacher's just hooping and hollering, but they don't give them the word.
Right. And I heard that. And I. Oh, my goodness. Jack be nimble.
Yeah. I got to put that in there. You know? And people love it.
For the candlestick now. You got to do the candlestick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Don't be saying nothing. Just got that emotion going. And they emotional. No. That's what it is. You know?
That's all.
Well, let me ask you something, Bishop. Now, we just talked about the hooping and the act and all that kind of stuff. Where does that really come from? What is that?
Is that a spirit?
What is that?
Spirit or something?
Well, it's mostly slavery. It comes from
slavery.
Okay.
That
was to try to trick Massa to not knowing we fit and get up out of here. So,
Yeah, little codes in your teaching. Mm-hmm. Yeah, say we gonna cross over to the other side, going to Jordan. Huh?
Yeah.
Okay, I got you. Yeah, I'm gonna give out the phone line. So we have Bishop Curtis Earthquake Kelly tonight. If you want to call in, ask some questions. Our guest call in number will be 319-527-6058. Again, it's 319-527-6058. Okay?
All
right. And we went on and so soul ties, this is another one. I want you to just kind of expound on these soul ties. How do you get a soul tie? How you get caught up in a soul tie?
That's in the book of Ezekiel, 16th chapter. Soul tie is connected to what God himself called pollution, and that 16:6, Ezekiel 16:6, you are polluted in your own blood. Every time you have sex, somebody you're not married to, you become polluted. There's a minimum of 10 different spirits that can get into a person's bloodstream every time you have sex with somebody you're not married to. Every time. God says so. He said, you are polluted through your own blood. So the soul tie is a type of pollution that God said that we shouldn't do. And people say, I'll do it anyway because, you're going to grow yourself right into something that's going to be hard without God to get rid of.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And now you know a lot of them talking about these open marriages where they just, polluting each other, just infecting each other all over the place.
Every day, every time you sex with somebody you're bringing in one spirit in particular called a fornex spirit. A fornex spirit is called the vault robbing spirit. Vault robbing. Yeah, you got a bank vault, and have a key or a combination to it, like a combination lock. And so what happens is that people who are having sex before, and it takes out your jewels. So the old folks back in the day, they would warn the young girls. They said, don't go to bed with these guys. They're going to take your family jewels. I don't know if you ever remember that. Remember that?
Yeah.
Let that man family jewel. That's what they're talking about. Yet the family jewels are connected to a person's joy. Eventually, you're going to be walking around like a zombie because there's something about protecting the jewels, your family jewels, because once it's done, it's hard to replace a lot of stuff once it's done.
Mm-hmm.
and a lot of girls jumping out of the bed with guys. You get what's called connected to the sticks, the Jewin rivers down in the pits of hell, and that stuff comes up. Isaiah 29:4, it says our evil spirits come out of the ground. Well, some of those things are connected to the Styx or the Stygian River, which is a river of hate. And now Maury, remember Maury's show, Maury?
Yeah.
It then ain't your baby daddy, you know?
Yeah.
Who that T-Bird? That ain't nobody, T-Bird. Baby daddy. Who that T-Bird? So what happened is that when you go to bed with somebody, and that river of hate, this Judean river, now watch this, how it work on Maury's show. Those people that were so much in love with each other, having sex with each other, but when it comes down to the man not want to own up to that baby, and the girl saying, that is your baby, and then they get on Maury's show, and they go at it like they hate each other, but they don't want to have sex with each other. But on Maury's show, they hate each other because what's happening. Having sex with somebody, that river of hate is coming out of the ground, Isaiah 29:4, getting in your bloodstream. So I could get no
amen. Wow, that's deep.
So if I'm understanding you correctly, Bishop, you're basically saying that when you have relationships with people outside, or you just go from person to person to person, whatever spirit that was within that person that you laid up with, that spirit is going to transfer to you. It's going to affect you.
Yes, and a no.
Okay.
Let me try to clarify that. May I?
Yes, please.
Because even the very fact that you lusted, Jesus said, you've already committed that in your heart. That spirit can hop on you even though you ain't got into bed yet.
Wow.
Wow.
That's what the Lord said. I ain't saying. Even though you ain't actually, guess what? The simple fact that you lusting like crazy, those spirits, they come out of the ground because you've already ignited them by lusting after someone. And then, when you go to bed with that person, then your blood mix, because you know having sex, the blood and stuff becomes back and forth, you know. And those spirits were in. Those spirits were in or up. Through Isaiah 29:4, right? It says right there in the Bible, and that bed, past everything, the sheets, the mattress, and all that, and headed right through your body and your bloodstream, and you become polluted with the river of hate, with a fornex spirit. You get like 10 major demons that come out of the pits of hell into your body. One is a multiple personality spirit that's called the Hydra, one of the worst ones. A Hydra head would change you so you don't even know who you are much anymore.
My God.
My Lord. Jesus.
And you see so much of fornicating in the church, but they say, God know my heart.
You know your feet. You know everything. Yeah, that's bad because when you do that, you actually open up the door, and then you want to, if you're a minister, then you want to pray for somebody, and then you've been doing that, and now you got people you've laid your hands on, and now they're having the problems, what's called battalions, little itty-bitty spirits that come out of the pits of hell. You lay your hands on them, and you've been having sex with everybody. Now you're transforming, something on them, and they innocent, and they don't even know. They got you. See, once you throw your hands up, you surrender like you're being arrested in a way. So you throw your hands up, you rest to those spirits and don't even know it.
My Lord.
Yeah, that's deep, you know?
Yeah, it is deep. And I was listening to you, so this fornicating and being adulterous and things like that and perverse, that would affect your mind as well as your body.
Yeah, it will. That's a part of being polluted. That's what God said. You're polluted in your own blood, and your blood runs up and down throughout your whole body, through your heart system, all the way up to your head. And then people don't think it's wrong because ain't nothing happened to them yet.
Mm-hmm.
But it's eventually, even though it hasn't happened yet, don't mean it's not going to happen. You know, like the mama used to say, you do tear up and act crazy in somebody's house or in school, and mama mm-hmm. promised you, you're going to get a whipping. Just because mm-hmm. they ain't beat you don't mean that you're not going to get one.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. That's all right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you feel something hitting you, knock you out your dream, and that'd be a mama with her belt.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
That's it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we know about that.
We
they
know
wake
about
you
that.
Up.
They wake you up.
Yeah. Same. It's the same thing with this.
So we want to just, again, our call-in number, audience, is 319-527-6058. If you have a question for Bishop, you could call in. I wanted to talk a little bit about witchcraft, not witchcraft, but wishcraft. Could you explain mm-hmm. that to our audience?
Yeah, that's in Psalms 40 and 14.
Mm-hmm.
The smallest form of witchcraft is called wishcraft.
Okay.
Like I was preaching, man and woman of God, I was someplace preaching, and I went out in the lobby of the church, and there was two girls there, and there was that one girl was really mad, and the other girl said, "What's going on?" And she said, "I wish that pastor would wife would die, so I could be dating." And that spirit, I felt the spirit in my hand. You all ever felt that spirit in your hand called the spirit of smack, where you just want to rope and smack?
Yeah. Like that spirit rolls up in you.
Yeah, man, that spirit of smack rolls up in me. And don't you smack that lady, you're going to wind up going to jail, won't you? Lord, just let me.
Mm-hmm.
I smack. I promise you, boy, you're going to smack her. You're going straight to jail. I said, Lord, help me.
The woman would die. Boy,
mm.
oh boy, what in the world? Jesus.
Yeah.
So they gotta have your man. They can't get a man of their own, huh?
Right. See, the thing is, this position that the pastor's wife was holding, she wanted that position.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and, I got.
Yeah, mm-hmm. you have to. That means you have to earn and be given to you by God. You just can't go up there and they kick her to the curb, and then,
right.
you know, mm-hmm. And then, anyway, I guess it ain't right, but that's witchcraft. Now, it's in Psalm 40 and 14, and Job, in the book of Job 30 and 31, where the Job's so-called friends were saying, the reason why you're having a problem because you wish something evil on somebody, and you reaping what you sow. So Job said, hold on a minute, fellas, hold on. No, I never wished anything bad to come on anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You had to let these guys know, I ain't wish nothing on nobody. So yes, you did, Job, practice witchcraft. And Job had to come back on them, so, no, I ain't never wished nothing bad to come on somebody. And Job was such a giving person that Job would go through. He would go out throughout his neighborhood and look for a family that was having financial problems, and Job would bless them.
Hmm. Generous, yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
In the Bible, he would bless them. See, he mm-hmm. would bless them, make sure that they have food and clothes and what have you. And they trying to accuse Job. And Job was one of the most generous men, the Bible says, in that whole region. Yeah, but I don't do that.
Wow.
Thank you. Look at think you're doing something bad because something bad happened to you. Must be your fault. Not all the time. Could be the enemy.
Yeah, That's true. Yeah.
Now, Bishop, a lot of people, they when it comes to that wishing, they think that that's just, you know, old wives' tales or this. Really nothing to it, or they'll say, well, no, I wish this, but I didn't really mean it. You know, it's just a figure of speech. So
yeah.
what would What would you say that?
Yeah.
Because a lot of people believe that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow. Well, the Bible, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
All right.
So if it's heart, not your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So these people really do mean that.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they mean it.
But they just, you know, but okay, so just let's talk a little bit about this incubus. I've been hearing a lot of that incubus
and succubus and all of that.
What spirits are those? I know they got intertwined with some kind of sex demons or something.
Yeah, those are sex spirits. But they only talk incubus and succubus, but there's a third one. There's a third spirit.
Okay.
The body of Christ needs to know about. They're doing it, but the body of Christ don't know exactly. And that's the Tammuz spirit.
Tammuz? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Tammuz is in the 8th chapter of Ezekiel. Tammuz, see, incubus, if I can I explain this to y'all?
Yeah,
yes.
Please. Mm-hmm.
Okay, incubus and succubus, those are raping spirits. They're violent, raping spirits. But Tammuz is a gigolo. It's a gigolo spirit in the Bible. People call incubus and succubus, they call them spouses and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's not the real spouse. Incubus and succubus, they rape you violently. Okay? They rape you violently. But Tammuz, he goes and he takes over where the husband's not doing his job.
Ooh.
Oh.
Y'all didn't hear me. Somebody missed that one.
No, we heard you, Bishop. We heard you.
May I read it to you?
Yes.
Okay, hold on a second. Let me read this to you, because when a man is not doing his sexual due diligence to his wife, Tammuz would take over. Not only would take over your wife in that position, but he also becomes the daddy to your children if you're not doing what you're supposed to do with your children.
Wow.
You know, there's a lot of gang members and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The public know that it's a spirit called Tammuz that's ruling your children because you ain't there with your children. So Tammuz gets them in. All that spirit of bitterness in that young man.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Wow.
Did y'all hear me?
Yes.
May I read?
Wow.
We hear you.
Okay. Read it to you in the Bible.
Yes.
Okay. Go to Ezekiel, 8th chapter of Ezekiel.
Okay.
And these guys, 70 preachers, instead of going home, being with their wives, they all up inside of the church, smoking drugs. And looking at pornography and all that in the church.
Wow. Yeah. All right.
Hold on a second.
Okay.
Let me find. Hold on a second. Let me see. Okay. Let me get to Ezekiel. Am I helping anybody so far?
Amen.
I don't know this
powerful.
I mean, I don't want to borrow y'all's time.
Mm-hmm.
But let me show you something, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Let me show you something here.
Mm-hmm.
Ezekiel 1, got to read this a little bit to set it up a little bit. Ezekiel 8, verse 1, and it came to pass in the sixth year, in the sixth month, in the fifth day of the month, and God always dates everything. And that's why I tell people, put the date on. Jesus, God did. Because the devil always come out, that don't mean nothing. You ain't do that. And you begin him like Jesus did in the fourth chapter of Matthew. It is written. But you can't remind the devil it's written if you ain't wrote it down.
Okay.
See? Okay. So in the sixth year, in the sixth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I sat in my house and the elders of Judah sat before me, that the hand of the Lord fell there upon me. God's hand came down. And then I beheld, and lo, a likeness of the appearance of fire. From the appearance of his loins, even downwards fire, and from his loins even upwards, as the appearance of brightness, as the color of amber. Okay, so God's coming down, and he's showing him something here in verse 3. And he put forth the form of his hand and took me by the locks of my head. He grabbed him by his hair. And there's a purpose why God grabbed him by his hair. And the Spirit lifted up between the earth and heaven and brought me into the vision of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate that looked towards the north. God is always about the north, and so is the enemy. He's jealous of God, and he wants the north too. Where we sat at the image of jealousy was provoked to jealousy. Okay, they went up and they was looking at something, the image, and it was causing some jealousy, and then God was mad. Verse 4, and behold, the glory of God of Israel was there according to the vision that I saw in the plain. Okay, and he, son of man, lift up your eyes now the way towards the north. So I lifted my eyes towards the north, and behold, northward at the gate of the altar, the image of jealousy in the entry. And he said furthermore to me, son of man, see you what they do? So God is showing him about these preachers, what these preachers is doing instead of being at home, but they wife. Then children, they, not children, but churn. They should be home with their churn.
Yeah,
they're not there. Then I should go far off from my sanctuary. God is saying, they're doing so much mess in here, these preachers doing so much mess. God is like, should I just leave these men alone? Okay, but turn again, and you shall see greater abominations. Greater. Now, we're still talking about that gigolo spirit, but I wanted to build it up a little bit before we get talking about that. And he brought me to the door of the court, and when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall, because God allowed there to be a hole in the wall as if somebody hit it with a hammer or something. And there was a hole in the church. Then said he unto me, son of man, dig now in the wall, and when I had digged in the wall, behold the door. So he dug around that hole, made it bigger so he can see better. He looked through that hole, the door there, and he said unto me, go in and behold the wicked abominations that they do here. Now, these preachers he's talking about, y'all. And so I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creepy things and abominable beasts, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the walls round about. Pornography, all kinds of stuff, all kinds of nasty creatures that shouldn't have been in there. Plus, and there stood before them. Now, here you go. Here it is, y'all. And there stood before them 70 men. Now, stood before all this pornography, all of this horrible stuff. They standing there looking at it. Instead of being home with their wives, all these preachers standing there looking at all this nasty, naked stuff. In the midst of the Jaazaniah, the son of Shaphan. Now, Shaphan is a name of a spirit that when you smoke cigarettes and cigars and ganja and all that stuff, the spirit of fire smoke is smoke is called Shaphan. That's the spirit of fire. And smoke. Every man, a man of God, a censer in his hand. Why do they have a censer? Because they were trying to block out the smell of smoke that they were smoking. They were smoking a type of cigarette.
I hear you.
They were trying to cover it up. Okay?
Wow.
They busted something, right? They busted two pastors right there in your city that were set after the people went home was then doing drugs right in the church. They busted them right there in Atlanta.
Well, we got one pastor. He said he gonna just build a dollar field. And he wanna grow marijuana so he can draw young men to Christ.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Who that is?
Jamal Bryan or somebody. Marijuana field.
Help him, Jesus.
Yeah.
So they tried. The thick cloud of incense went up. Then God's mad now. Then he said unto me, son of man, have you seen what the ancients of Israel do in the dark? The preachers doing in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
Everything, the chamber of his imagery. In other words, everything they thought about back in the book of Genesis, back in when God destroyed the world, everything they thought about, they did. For they say, the Lord see us not. In other words, God don't even see us. The Lord has earth. He don't see us. Matter of fact, God left the earth anyway. That's a lie. God don't leave us. And also, he said also unto me, turn you again, and you shall see the greater abomination that they do, these preachers. Then he brought the door of the gates of the Lord's house, which was the war. There he is again, the north. And behold, there sat. Watch this now. Verse 14. Write these down in your notes, those that are listening.
Yeah.
He brought me to the door of the gates of the Lord's house, which was towards the north. And behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz.
That man.
Now, Tammuz is the third spirit of sexual perversion. Now, he's not incubus. He's not incubus. Those two will rape you, hold you down when you can't move, you can't scream, you can't say nothing but the blood of Jesus, and they'll leave you. Tammuz is not. Tammuz will get, he'll get with a wife who's crying out for Tammuz. Tammuz, my husband won't be right by me. Tammuz, my husband don't touch me. Tammuz, my husband is impotent. Tammuz, we ain't had sex in 6 months. Tammuz, and they knew their husband was having each other in the temple smoking drugs and all that right there in the temple. And so he knew about this spirit, the gigolo spirit called Tammuz. He will not, y'all listen to me, he will not do what incubus and succubus does. He's not a raping spirit. He's a gigolo spirit that have sex with the man's wife because he's not there doing it. He'll have sex with the man's wife. He is that spiritual husband. Tammuz, when the wife cries out for Tammuz, he's the gigolo. He comes and he satisfies the wife sexually because the husband refused to go home and be with her. Y'all hit some one of them.
Yeah.
Did you hear what I'm
floored.
We're hearing you.
Amen. Wow.
They teach you this stuff in witchcraft and voodoo, Santeria, Obia. I come out of this stuff. I know these things. I draw pictures of them. I can show you what Tammuz look like. See? Tammuz not incubus. He's not succubus. He's a gigolo spirit that satisfies your wife sexually beyond her lead press on nails, pop off her feet, and will knock the light out the ceiling.
Wow. Oh, we hear you.
So now, here in California, ministering the same thing I'm ministering here. So I said, y'all cannot be doing this. Y'all cannot be doing this with these spirit husbands and spirit wives. Incubus and succubus, they're going to rape the mess out of you. That's what they do. You don't have to say nothing. You just not praying and not seeking God. They be in the walls all day. They come out in the middle of the night and rape you. You can't move in your heart. They kind of give you a sexual heart attack. That's what they do. Tammuz is not like that. So I'm teaching about it. And a lady comes out, finished. An old lady by 80-something years old comes up to me, and she said, Billy Kenny, I need to talk to you, baby. Mama need to talk to you, baby. Come on, let mama talk to you there for a minute, baby. Hold still. Come on, on your way to the car. I can talk to you. Mama got to talk to you. Hold still. I said, yes, mother, what's going on? She said, baby, I know you said that I can't have no sex with no spirit. No, you can't, mother. But let me tell you something. I'm 87 years old. I'm 87. Mama got some snow on top of your head, but the furnace, baby. The furnace.
My goodness.
Mama was something else.
And I'm standing there. No, mother. She said, let me tell you something, baby. Mama got needs. Mama 87 years old, but Mama got some needs. Mama's fireplace is busted, and I need something. But I complain, baby. Mother, you can't do that. That's a spirit.
Wow.
That's the spirit. I don't care what you say. I'm going to continue to let that thing rock my world, baby.
And she knew it was a spirit?
She knows. She knows. Wow. She said, my husband been dead 5 years, baby. And mama got knees. Mama still got something. Mama got some knees, Brother Acrey. I said, Mama, you can't do that. That's Tammuz. You can't do that. That's the gigolo spirit. It's not incubus or succubus. See, I don't care what you call it, Brother Earthquake. That thing rocks Mama's world.
Oh,
so
no.
I had a...
Jesus.
And she walked away. Now, look at that. Walked away. So another girl came up to me. She's like 25 years old.
Hmm.
And she said, Earthquake, man, now I'm still in shock over Mama. Now I'm still in shock.
Yeah.
So, Earthquake, I'd like to talk to you, Brother Earthquake. Now I'm still in shock with my mother. And I said, okay, yes. Yeah. I always be nice. Everybody know I'm always nice to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am. What's going on? Well, Earthquake, you said that we can't do this. Well, I just want you to know, Brother Earthquake, that this spirit helps me to stay sane. What are you talking
what?
About? Yes, he said, this helps me to stay sane because I used to do those one-night stand at the nightclub. But this spirit, he comes in and he satisfies me and it keeps me from masturbating. It keeps me from going out in the club. So I want this spirit to keep doing it. And I can't stop. I can't stop doing it. I don't care what you say. No, Earthquake.
That
is a Tammuz. I'm saying he's a gigolo spirit that is having sex with a lot of church people right now.
Bishop, do he look like a man coming in your room at night, or what is this thing?
Yeah, he look like a dude with a big cross, with two, you know, you got one cross, you got one bar going, one up and one down, right? But Tammuz carries two bars on his cross, too.
Okay.
He carries a religious symbol in the bed with you to make you think it's okay. That's why he carries it.
Oh, okay. Deceptive.
Okay.
Yeah. And so I told her, you can't do this. And she told me off. She told me, okay, what? I'll get ready to try to get to my car quick. Now, I'm wild, Mama. Baby.
Yeah.
He's 7 years old. And my man been dead 5 years, baby. So she told me off. The 24-year-old told me off because they said that spirit helps her stay safe. So I'm ready to go to a car. Another lady come catch me. She catch me. Earthquake. I was like, I can't get to my car. I'm trying to get to my car. She stopped me. She said, I was in there. I heard what you said. And she said, now hold on to something, y'all. Hold on to something, okay?
Mm.
Y'all holding on?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Y'all holding on to
something? I'm holding on.
So, she said, Earthquake, I heard what you said. She said, but in the middle of the night, this thing, nice looking thing, he comes in the bed, he crawls over my husband while he's sleeping, snoring. He's sleeping up like a bear. He climbs over my snoring husband, gets on top of me, and makes me feel better than my husband ever made me feel.
Good God, what in the world? No, I don't think it's delivered tonight. Jesus.
Well,
let me tell you, I was floored. I said, no, I'm trying to tell you, you can't do this. And she argued. It makes me feel better. This is Tammuz. This is a gigolo spirit that's doing it to a lot of ladies in the church. Incubus, succubus, they're going to rape you so you can't move. Tammuz, he's having a honeymoon with you, just like he's a real dude.
So to people, Bishop, who have dreams like maybe a man or woman, vice versa, a woman, pretty woman come in the dream and look like you're having sex with that woman in your dream. So that is, you said that's an incubus. That's not a gigolo.
No. Incubus, succubus, they don't care nothing about your dreams. They get to come and jump on you, hold you down, and lick all over your neck, and the only thing you can get them off of you is Jesus. Yeah, that's different. Tammuz is a lover. It's a pretty boy, and he comes in,
and they describe his appendage, his private. You don't even want to know on the air what they describe.
Wow.
Oh my God.
I don't care what it looked like, what it feel like. It's from the pits of hell. Oh, baby, let me tell you something, baby. I'm 87 years old. I know, man. He said, that's baby.
My God.
Under my bed. Get parked his shoes under the bed. Mama, what are you talking? You can't. But let me tell you something, Mama. You said Mama ain't got a whole lot of time, but quick, ain't got no more time. So I got to let this thing satisfy me.
Grandma.
But Bishop Earthquake. Now, with that going on, with this Tamil spirit, if you continue, if the people continue to allow this to happen, when they die, they will be lost.
Because their disobedience is like witchcraft, and God telling you, send a man to tell you to stop, and you keep doing it. But not only that, Tammuz bring diseases too.
He does what?
Bring diseases with him.
Okay, I hear you.
You read between the lines, but I'm saying he bring diseases.
Yeah.
And I tried to warn him, but then you know, because sexual gratification outweighs the scriptures if a person don't want to hear it.
That's true. Okay. That's true. You're right.
All right.
You're right.
Many people, you hit them with the scripture, and they still want to live the way they want to. You hit them with God's.
Am I telling the truth? Mm-hmm.
That's true.
I ain't going to cut that boyfriend or girlfriend off.
That's true.
You know?
No. And how do you know they're not possessed with Tammuz? That's because they're a nice-looking girl or boy.
That's true.
That spirit can get inside of a person.
Amen. Wow.
Somebody that's mad at me. But it's the scripture. There's a third sexual spirit. And he's not going to hurt you. He's going to make love as if you were on your wedding night. And you go to church like it. Put a big old smile on your face, big as a Chester cat, because you've been satisfied. Then that Saturday night, Sunday morning, you can dance good. Get out of here, man.
Mm. Okay, Bishop Kelly, we got a question. It says, how do you pray this away? How do you pray this away? Caller, are you talking about succubus or Tammuz? I don't know if it's a woman or a man. Because a man can't have Tammuz.
Tammuz.
Oh yeah, I've seen that spirit. It can have it because it can change its body shape.
Oh wow.
Yeah, wow. It could change its body. If a wife doesn't want to have relationship with her husband, Tammuz can look like a lady come in the room for you.
Wow.
No, it's not coming. Incubus, succubus, they're not coming to make no love with you. They're coming to rape you. Tammuz will look like a lady. It's like a transvestite. And where you think they come from? Where do
Callers, our numbers is 319. This is deep. Hey, if you're dealing with this demonic spirit, Tammuz, succubus, incubus, you need to call in and get delivered. But our guest call-in number is 319-527-6058. So they want to know, say, this is deep. How do you get rid of all of it? Do they need to go through deliverance, or how would they get rid of this?
Well, it's not in you. It's on you.
Okay.
It's on you. There's a difference between possessed by Tammuz or incubus and succubus as opposed to it afflicting you. Many of the afflictions of the righteous, and these three are them, but God promised to deliver us out of them all. So what happens first, you anoint your head, you repent first. Repent. I'm talking to somebody out there.
Amen.
See, if you don't, you're going to fall into Ezekiel, watch this now. Ezekiel 8, verse 18. If you don't repent, here's what's going to happen. Therefore will I also deal in my fury. God, man, don't put me. And my eye shall not spare. God said, I see you going to bed with that move. Neither will I. Did you hear me? Neither will I have pity. Cry in my ears with a loud voice, yet will I not hear them. Repent from doing this, an evil spirit that rebelled against God. And now you're trying to satisfy yourself without letting God satisfy you. Repent. Number one, repent.
Number two,
denounce it. Three, get you some oil. Anoint your wall. Anoint your bed. Anoint your pillow. Because what's happening when you put your mouth on Tammuz's mouth, there's little tiny spirits that's going to come off of the spirit's mouth. It's going to be on your mouth. It's going to end in your tongue. It's going to give you sore throats. You're going to have all kinds of problems trying to warn people, but some of them don't want to listen. Those three women wouldn't listen to me. I was a sorcerer. I was a terrible person. I know about these things, sister and brother, but some of them, they want to tell me that it's okay. I'm going to do it because it's helping them stay safe. No, it is not.
Jesus.
He's the one help us stay safe, not a spirit. Oh, I'm preaching good.
You're preaching good, Pastor. But a lot of times people in the church say, well, because I'm not having sex, then they'll open the door to these type of spirits, but they think it's okay. And like you said, they have to repent, but they want the satisfaction more than they want to repent.
Yeah, and get rid of it.
That's exactly right. See, every time that thing gets on you, it gets on you. And you allow it to do what it do to you, you're going into what's called the nether place in the Bible. The nether place. The nether place is a very bad demonic place that it's taking you. See, when you get into the bed with that thing is taking you somewhere. You see, there was a song saying, I'll take you there. Taking you somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
It's taking you somewhere while you having sex with that thing. It's taking you to a place called the nether place in the Bible. And you understand is that when you talk about getting a sexual excitement, I won't say the word, but you get a sexual begins with an O. You're getting one of those things. If the spirit gives you that, he gives you that, and he's putting more stuff inside of you from the nether place inside of your system. How do you get rid of it? First, you repent. Tell God that you're sorry for disobeying his word. Okay? You're sorry for... But God is a jealous God. You remember, now it says God in the scripture talks about in a place of jealousy, to provoke for jealousy in Ezekiel the 8th chapter in the 3rd verse. You're provoking God to jealousy. He's mad. He's angry with you. But, man, if your wife is not having relationship with you, you don't conjure up no spiritual Tammuz.
Jesus.
Your wife laying right there. And especially around Halloween time, there's more released into the atmosphere around Halloween season than any other time of the year.
I believe that.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
But like you said, my people perish for lack of knowledge. They don't know this stuff in the church.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So I think I've been long enough, so I don't want to wear you all out. But
this has been just phenomenal, the teaching and everything. And, we don't celebrate Halloween, although my kids is grown. And, you know, when they were young, we just didn't know.
Yeah.
But my grandkids and stuff, they don't participate in none of that stuff,
That's a corner that does.
Mm-hmm. Well, we had another question come in and say, what about churches doing trunk or treat?
Trick or treat?
Trunk or treat, you know, where they don't say trick or treat, it's trunk or treat, where they'll have the candy in the trunk at churches.
Well, I tell you this much. Shakespeare said, to thy own self be true. And he wasn't even no Christian.
Mm-hmm.
So if, let me get this. That's up to him, you know what I mean? Because the real quick, man, you told me, no, I'm talking what the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let me, Bible says, let me show you. Now, if people get mad, I'm just going to show you. First John, let's go to first.
First John?
Let's go to
first. Okay. Amen.
First John. That's where you get your record. First John. Look at here. Somebody say, look at here. Look at here. First John. Where we at? So I'd like to come on y'all again another day. I've done this morning. I did a great TV show this morning, like further running out of steam here.
Oh, okay.
I'm so sorry, y'all. But one scripture. And First John, I would love to come back.
We would love to have you back anytime. We're going to get you here to Atlanta, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I love my wife. Love to, I was going to move to it.
Oh,
I had
really?
A house on the lake. You had a big, beautiful house on the lake and everything. And getting ready to do like ready to close the deal and everything. Mm-hmm. And then like, no, son, no.
Yeah.
Love to fish and all stocked with fish and had a nice carport and you could run your boat there and I was open up a big ministry there and church and God said if you don't get back to California you'll be in trouble if you don't you know. So I told the real estate person, bad as I want this place. Oh gosh. It was the color like that reddish burgundy. It was just my wife and I. We just loved it, but God said no. But I was gonna move here. Now here's the thing. Before I go, appreciate you all. First John, 1:5, dealing with churches. I want to do this.
Amen.
This then is the message. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light. And in him is no darkness at all.
Amen. So we're going to conclude. And do you want to close it out, Bishop Kelly, with prayer?
Yes, I will. But didn't you have someone that had a question? How do you get rid of? Did I finish that question?
Yeah, he or she say, how do you get to say, how do you get rid of it? And then when you say repent, I think they're deeper in like this, all these spirits, if they all dealing with all of them, oh, they messed up then.
No, boy. I made my heart go out for them. And the good thing is they could be delivered. That's the good news.
Mm-hmm.
But they got to want to leave that thing alone. It's like your mama tell you, man, that girl ain't good for you. That girl ain't good. But in your heart, the more they say it ain't good for you, the more some people want to prove that they can make their mom and daddy wrong. This guy is good for me, or this girl is good for me. Anyway. Bible says in 1 John 2, love not the world.
That's right.
Neither the things that are in the world.
That
if
is
any
right.
man loves, the love of the Father is not in him.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 16 says, for all that is in the world, the
That's
lust
true.
Of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and here's the problem right here, the pride of life.
It's true.
When you tell them, pride of life, I don't care. That old lady, baby, their mama tell you, I'm 87 years old. That's a pride.
Uh-huh.
The pride of life.
Pride of
life. And she said, I ain't got much time, so this man rocks my world. Put his shoes under my bed anytime he wants. Okay? You don't put evil spirit shoes under your bed.
No.
Amen. Good grief.
Lord Jesus.
Boy, they just don't know. But when you tell them the truth, then they don't want to receive it. That's what I don't understand.
But it feels good because of the feeling of it.
The enemy works
through
the
flesh.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
that feeling, Moses said, I'd rather suffer affliction with the Christian, with the Israelites, than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Because you put your mouth in kissing that tongue, you put your mouth on that thing's tongue, he's running his tongue all the way down your throat.
Mm.
I'm preaching there. I want for people to understand. I used to be a witch. I understand. Mm-hmm. He put nasty tongue all the way down your throat, hey, the forky tongue down your throat, all the way down to your navel.
Oh.
That's where it's going.
Yeah, he's filling you up with some crap.
Cool.
I want to be precise and open for you so you know what's going on.
I love it.
Well, that's what we want.
We need more of this kind of teaching.
Yeah.
You know, because the body of Christ just is naive. They play with fire. Like they say, you're going to get burned. You keep playing with it.
That's right.
Yes,
but all these things that we're talking about, that you're talking about, will destroy you.
Yeah, break up your home. Yeah,
break
and marriage
up.
Too.
It will destroy you physically and spiritually.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it will. Thank you for saying it, Joe. Hopefully, it's an old lady out there listening. No offense to your age, but there's some women out there listening to me, y'all. They're up in age and they're still trying to get their groove on. And so this thing is still happening. How old you are? The girl 25, she 87. The other girl, like, she about 40 or 50. And they all of them said the same thing. Like, I was.
That spirit. That Tammuz coming in there good looking.
That's bad.
Mm.
That's
pretty cool.
That's bad.
Oh, man. Well, that's deep. Well, we going to say, you can pray. And hopefully our audience, can get delivered tonight.
Yeah, I hope so.
Get it out your house.
If anybody needs prayer, I'll stay on here a few more minutes and pray for them.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Again, our number is 319-527-6058. 319-527-6058. If you need prayer, call in. And I'm believing God can deliver you from any Tammuz, succubus, incubus. We talked about these eeps, witchcraft, this Nemo cycle. If you know you've been in a cycle going round and around, going in circles, like who was that used to sing, Billy?
Preston.
Yeah, here we go round in circles.
Circle.
You don't have to be in a circle. We got a call. Take that call.
It's a 904-1231. All right, here you are.
Caller, you on the air.
Hey, y'all. I've been listening, and it's been some powerful stuff the whole time I've been listening. And I just want prayer in general. I mean, because being real, I've experienced a lot of that stuff, like, since I was, 14, 15. In the streets, I used to sell drugs, and I got saved at 18 and filled with the Holy Ghost. But you always have this stuff coming back to your mind, the lust, the perverted, just different things always coming back to your mind. And you're like, man, what is going on? You filled with the Holy Ghost, but you're just trying to figure out what's up, So I've experienced a lot of that stuff.
Man, I love to pray for it. It's Brother Earthquake, man. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. I love to pray.
Amen. What's your first name?
I'm Bobby Montgomery III.
Oh, Bobby Montgomery. I know Bobby Montgomery. that's a blessing. Well, man, let's pray, Bobby, the three.
Let's pray.
God, we pray for our brother, Bobby Montgomery, God, that you will protect him. There's a scripture, Bobby, before we finish praying. It's in 1 Thessalonians 2:19. It's one I tell people a lot when I'm out ministering on the road, is that it's called the crown of rejoicing. See, the enemy don't want people to know about this. They know about the helmet of salvation. But under the helmet of salvation, there should be a thing called the crown of rejoicing. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And see, when the enemy comes, and he says, so you got on the crown of rejoicing, no matter what he throws at you, you rejoice right through it. And plus the helmet of salvation protects the crown, because the crown is for joy. The helmet is for protection. So we pray right now in the name of Jesus that the crown of rejoicing being covered by the helmet of salvation, that none of the words echolalia from the pit of hell would bounce and roll around like an echo in Bobby's head. We rebuke it right now, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of
yes, we come against
fire of the Holy Ghost, protect him now. That none of these words in the pit of hell will get past the crown, will get past the trumpet. He will be free in his mind. When the Son sets free, is free indeed. And we thank you, God. Right now, God. Now he'll be a witness to other people. And Jesus, my Kodobosa, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus.
Glory, hallelujah.
Fire,
hallelujah.
Now, God. In Jesus' mighty name, oh God, we bless you.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Yeah, bless you, man.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, that's our youngest.
Yeah, he's our youngest.
out of the three sons, we have three sons. Mm-hmm. They're all grown, but he's the youngest out of them.
Mm-hmm.
I think he, what is he? Three?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So 43.
You're 43. Yeah, I know.
Wow.
I had
that's awesome, y'all. Awesome.
Yeah.
All
yeah.
right. Well.
Well, we appreciate you, Pastor.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, son.
Well, if any of your listeners want to support our ministry, we have Cash App, $Earthquake Kelly, $Earthquake Kelly. Kelly spelled K-E-L-L-E-Y.
Amen.
And use the support, y'all.
Okay, $Earthquake Kelly for to support
yes,
his
sir.
Ministry. All right.
And his books. Buy his books, too. You're on Amazon and
yes.
What other platforms are you on? They can go directly to your website and buy your book, right?
Mainly on Amazon, yes.
Okay. Okay.
Yes, and his book, Escaping the Nemo Cycle, is out. You can purchase it through Amazon. We bought it, and it's an excellent book. It's an excellent read, and I would recommend many people to purchase this book.
And Bishop Kelly, do you have Cash App? Someone want to know if you have Cash App.
Yes, it's $Earthquake Kelly.
Okay, $Earthquake Kelly.
Kelly.
Okay.
Yes, that's it.
Okay.
We have PayPal.
Okay.
Yes, yes. PayPal. So if they want to reach out, we'd love to have the support because we really could use it.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen. Well, listen, audience, you hear, you can do Cash App, $Earthquake Kelly, or PayPal. What was your PayPal again?
EarthquakeKellyMinistries.com.
Okay. Okay.
EarthquakeKellyMinistries.com.
Okay. Very good. All right. So, hey, we need your support. Y'all support the kingdom of God. You'll be blessed. And I don't say that as a prosperity gimmick. You really will.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yeah,
so we are delighted to have you here. So we're going to close it out in prayer. And we'll have hopefully get you back.
Amen. Well,
I'd love to.
All right, Bishop Kelly, would you mind just closing us out in prayer?
Oh, no, I'd be delighted. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time of fellowship. We thank you for this great, awesome ministry. God, this man of God, his lovely wife, that they opened their time, they opened up their hearts to help people around the country and around the world. Bless them, God. Open up more doors for them.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Jesus. God. from Wall Street, even under the freeway bridges, God, that you would touch people because of them. They love you. And they love to see the living and set free. Thank you for allowing me to go forth tonight. Keep them, protect them, bless them. Mentally, God, bless them. Their homes protected, that no weapon formed against them shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against them, they shall condemn, because that's the heritage of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
So we bless them, and we thank
you in
Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Well, thank you so much, and tell your lovely wife, we appreciate you both for coming on and sharing with us, and we'll have you on the program soon.
Another time. All right. Bless you.
Amen.
Bless you.
All right. Have a good evening. Okay.
You too. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, so that was a powerful program. We want to just thank our listening audience for listening in. And, I mean, it was valuable information. I hope you took notes.
Yeah.
Because this was some valuable information. And, again, you can go to Bishop Earthquake Kelly Ministries and get his book.
Yeah.
It's some deep teaching. You're not going to get this in your everyday church. Uh-huh. I know you'll go down for the prayer line tomorrow. But you're not going to get this kind of teaching. And I'm not knocking nobody's church, but these are the deep things of the Spirit.
Yes.
You're not going to get this just a little howdy-doody prayer and you're good to go.
That's right.
No, you got to, some of this stuff he said comes out by much fasting and prayer. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you're going to have to push that plate aside.
Yes, and you have to get in the Word.
If you're being tormented with these spirits, succubus, incubus, is not of God.
Eeps,
all these other eeps and creeps, bind them up, repent. Amen?
Amen.
So with that, we're going to close the program out. We enjoyed everybody for being in our listening audience, and we will talk to you soon. Have a beautiful evening, and God bless you. Amen?
Amen.
Love you. All right, we'll talk to you soon. Bye.